The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ball Bags, a weekly podcast breaking down all the news from the United Rugby Championship, the NFL, the English Premier League, the NBA, and the wide world of sport. Hello, and thanks very much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Ball Bags podcast, episode 2.11. I'm delighted to be joined by the bottom feeder athlete. How are you, mate? Are you all good?
All good, lad. Just the two of us this week.
Yeah, I think the coach of the game outside of Dublin, and he didn't know how long it would take him to get there or get back. So
he actually said, like, just fighting people alone, getting back to the promised land is the reason he won't make it.
Yeah, God love him.
I said, fuck him.
he has to go outside of the M50, and he's not really sure where the land's outside of that area. Struggles when he leaves Dublin. Strange weekend of sport, obviously. We'd know Six Nations have finished. We'd know Premier League action. We did have a full slate, though, in the URC. Edinburgh, obviously, making history as well. From the first club from Europe to win overseas in South Africa. So there's a bit of history for you. You also had Women's Six Nations kick off this weekend. Ireland obviously falling short just to Wales. But look, it's great to see. It's great that it's a standalone tournament now as well. Plenty of TV coverage. It's good for the women's game in this country. What about for yourself, bottom feeder athlete? Any notable sporting events this weekend?
Just been kind of dying. Apart from, like, obviously the Ireland match yesterday was like, my housemate watched it. So that's like, do you know when the boys start getting a bit of interest in the games and you're like, oh, this is it. It's like going to be back when we were do you remember Robbie Keane's goal in the World Cup? That's
type two, like
that. You remember that, and he doing the cartwheel. Everyone in primary school, probably in primary school at the time, doing cartwheels like round the carpet hall. That's the type of buzz now that yesterday's match kind of.
I could never do cartwheels now. I'm not gonna lie at all.
No, you're not symmetrically built now for cartwheels.
I can run at people. To some
you're a bowling ball. That's symmetrically built for cartwheels.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not even offended by that.
That's when you know. Do you know when you can always say you're comfortable with yourself dying in the ground? Is that when you can turn around and say, look, cartwheels are just never going to do it for me. And when a woman accepts that and I can live happy, start being productive member of society.
Yeah, fair. I suppose kicking it off in partnership with The Athletic. Click that link in the podcast description for a month's free access to the best journalists in the world. Player of the week. Who was player of the week for yourself, Pompey Rally?
I actually had Jokic this week in a very competitive, I suppose, I know we'll touch on later on, very much kind of a three horse race at the minute, isn't it, really? The NBA?
Ish.
Not that I agree with it, and we can row about it, but yeah, I had Jokic this week. Very dependable. Fair. In a week fair, without football. Fair.
Yeah, I went the patriotic route. I picked Ogbeni, obviously, without. Would you call it a wonder goal? Like, give it the title of a wonder goal, maybe, against Belgium?
Fucking screamer.
Yeah, I know it's only a friendly, and I know Belgium weren't at full strength, but there were some noble names in that Belgium squad, so.
If I was at Benny's agent, I would be seriously starting to getting ready. Summer, money.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Wouldn't it? It's mad, like, one goal like that just. See boys tearing into the summer then after scoring a goal, and they get a nice new contract, a nice transfer. Do you remember James Rodriguez from the World Cup? And he got that deal and he went to Madrid. Wild things
even happen. Close to the home, and even close to home, we were chatting about just off air about kind of the field goal factor with Irish football at present, and it's not a million miles away from, say, 2002 at the World Cup. Remember Gary Breen? We all dream of a team of Gary Breen's. He went to the World
Full
Cup
of
as technically a free agent. He was offered a new contract, refused a new contract, went to the World Cup, had a great World Cup to be fair, and came home to a new transfer. I think he went to West Ham. He'd gone from someone in the Championship. Like, it was a wise decision in the end. He took a gamble. So yeah, if you start, like, if you can get to a major tournament and you can play well, it's usually a good transfer to come.
The timing is everything though. Like, you get, like, especially like in, you know, coming into April now, and you're just fresh on the tongue. Some brand new team has a brand new Saudi sheik ready to throw money at you.
I don't know about that now. But maybe, you know, maybe someone like Brentford could do it. Could do it another man aside from Ivan Toney.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you had to pick between Jokic or Benny.
Yeah, Benny has to be okay. This week. The goal was so good. Just the feeling you get out of that Irish game yesterday was nice. That doesn't happen too often. So
no, it hasn't happened too often in recent years. But look, it was a lot to get through this week. We've taken the opportunity of not having the coach to, suppose, chat maybe free agency in the NFL, as well as a look ahead. We're coming to the very closing, the dying embers of the NBA regular season, so we'll chat to that as well. So that'll be kind of our agree subjects this week, and then we'll finish off. But have you seen this in partnership with usasports.co.uk? Again, just click the link in the podcast description. There's plenty of US sporting apparel at your fingertips. But I suppose to kick us off, bottom feeder athlete, what have you brought for us this week for Agree to Disagree?
Look, I know we were chatting obviously about the stacked AFC last week. It just seems to have gone a little bit more stacked with the Colts trading for Matt Ryan. I know, look, you don't, like, look, here it is, just lay it out to you now. Do you think Matt Ryan has enough juice in his arm?
No.
No, at all?
No.
I went back and looked.
I think it's nothing to do with his arm. I think his last time making the playoffs, was obviously that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think if he gets to playoff football, which he could, like, it's a brilliant roster. He's an anti-Carson Wentz in that he's not a risk taker. So it's going to be like calm, secure, kind of play calling. He'd be more than happy to let Jonathan Taylor just run the ball. He hasn't had a good run game in Atlanta. So I think they'll do good and they'll make the playoffs, but I just don't see them as that genuine contender in what is an incredibly stacked AFC.
I think he could be dangerous. I went back and looked at Matt Ryan and was like, right, okay, he's 37. This is the in vogue thing right now, isn't it? That 37-year-old or kind of 30-plus quarterbacks that have been stalwarts and very productive members of their teams. In Matt Ryan's case, look, he's one of the best MVP seasons in recent memory, as far as I'm concerned. Like, his MVP year was top drawer stuff, and I think anyone that would say it wasn't top drawer really needs to go back and look at, like, he eviscerated the field and was very unlucky at the end not to come away with a Super Bowl, and it changes the entire complexion of that man's career. But if he wins that Super Bowl, do you know what I mean?
And to be fair, it doesn't just change the kind of topography of his career, it changes the kind of standing of that organization as well. And yeah, we do probably take it for granted just how much of a joke of an organization they have been outside of Matt Ryan's tenure.
Not exactly pristine run, or, you know, Arthur Blank.
And that NFC South is
always there for the taking, generally.
Yeah, like, I mean it is a bit of a joke division. Fits and starts, obviously Carolina have made one Super Bowl with Cam. They're a relatively new franchise, so you can't judge them too hardly. The Saints, outside of Peyton and Drew Brees, were a joke franchise. Their nickname for years was the Aints, because they ain't doing jack all, basically. And Tampa, barring the two Super Bowls,
they've been absolutely irrelevant for,
yeah, and not just irrelevant, just a mess. Like, you can be irrelevant and not, like, I would say Philadelphia, I know they made the playoffs last year, but they probably were irrelevant, but they're not a mess of an organization. Do you know what I mean?
Like, no, you can be
irrelevant in a rebuild, but you're not a mess.
Look, Philly, a lot of people would argue that Philly just need the quarterback and you're right back in the mix again. Look, there's always a lot to be said about that. But look, just obviously getting back to Ryan, like, you go from the highs of the high of that season to where he spent all last year. His number one receiver went missing because he's a degenerate gambler. And yet, like, look, it's not as if the numbers were stellar, but the numbers certainly aren't drastically bad. Like, 20-12 on that team, and he just has them hum along. I definitely think he's more on that roster, that he doesn't need to be sitting behind Jonathan Taylor. He's good enough to actually go and win the Colts games next year.
I understand where you're coming from, but he doesn't have to.
He doesn't, you know what I mean? I still think he's good enough that he can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not Peyton Manning's arm the last year in Denver we're talking about. It's not.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you fair. See it and you're like, okay, he still can attack, like, all areas of the field that he could normally. So it just makes him more interesting. Like, obviously, like, he's coming over to the AFC. It was a fucking gauntlet anyways. He now just adds more to a gauntlet. But I mean, it's exciting. That
probably why Tom come back.
Sorry, say that again.
It's probably why Tom come back. The great transfer of talent between conferences. Like,
this is the next thing, really, isn't it? Like, you look at Miami in the trade for Tyreek Hill. And when I seen that the other day, I was like, that's illogical. Made no sense from...
It is and it isn't.
The Tua, so, look, it doesn't make sense at Tua, because Tua can't fucking use him.
But that's why it makes sense. Because it's a move to move off Tua.
Yeah, and is it a move to move on to Brady, but now they don't have the picks? Do you know what I mean?
I don't buy that. Brady to Miami... Why would he go to the AFC now? Like, he's not dumb, Tom. But I suppose that Miami pick for me said a lot about, say, the two organizations. So it said a lot to me about Kansas, and I'll tell you why. You're familiar with the expression that genius leaves clues. So, like, yep. If you wanna, anyone that's good at what they do actually leave clues, and you can kind of follow them and stuff like that. In the NBA, it's very easy to get a dynasty. You're never more than two or three trades away from building a dynasty, effectively. In the NFL, it's a lot harder to do. The only one in recent memory, well, the most recent one, sorry, is the New England Patriots. And what did the New England Patriots do? They had a quarterback who was willing to not be the best paid quarterback in the league. Kansas had that. They had an all-time great coach. Kansas had that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the New England Patriots did to separate themselves is they were never over attached to players.
No, and Tyreek is the epiphany now of a fella. Look, when you look at it, him and Mahomes is a match made in heaven for the years that they have. Like, from a skills standpoint, like, Tyreek Hill is the fastest player in the league. He probably still is the fastest player in the league, thereabouts. But he also wanted between 21 and 28 million per annum as a wide receiver. And as a wide receiver, I can't, and I'm sure the Chiefs probably maybe thought this as well, as I can't logically go, you're worth the same money as Devontae Adams.
No.
And even if he's not, someone is going to pay him that money. Miami were happy enough to be like, yeah, that's fine. Then obviously it comes into the Tua thing. Like, Miami already have, like, an absolute jet burner in Jalen Waddle. But he had to completely change his role last year from what he perceivedly came in as a deep threat to basically short catches and turned into a run after the catch fella. So, yeah. Unless Tyreek is going to be utilised like that as well, So you now have two of the best deep threats in the league that have effectively running gone slants. From running slants and hitches and bubble screens and all of this shit to get your quarterback going. And then runs. It would suggest...
But Miami's also invested in the running game as well. They signed a fullback. Like, who signs a fullback in 2022?
Look, the Tim Riggins of the world will be cheering at home with their cans of Bud Light and be happy out with that. But yeah, look, it doesn't make sense for them to really be rolling with Tua. You could be wrong, but I think Brady's in play there as well. I know he's not tick, but
why does he come back to Tampa then? Why does he not just, if he's retired, his contract is null and void, so why does he not just sign for Miami?
I thought Tampa have the rights though if he does come back, don't they?
Fair.
There was a thing, you know, with Brady. Does he go, you know, does he just have a word with the owner and be like, look, got your Super Bowl, you're going to let me off the contract now when I come back, type of wig wig nug nug. And Arians is like, aha, you're playing, like, you come back, you're playing for Tampa. I do think Miami is a potential landing spot just because of the weapons now that they have.
I don't see it. I'll be honest, I don't. I could be wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong, but I don't see it.
Do you not think he'd love to just go out and smack all those kids around for one more season with the Dolphins?
But, like, that's such a hard division to go into now. So he has to go up to Buffalo. I don't think Tom's ego could take being beaten by Buffalo twice. I don't think Tom's ego could take being beaten by Bill twice.
I don't think Bill would beat him twice this year.
Maxing a year older.
The Josh Allen thing and Buffalo, like, poor unlucky unfortunate souls. They're a good side, and you might get beaten by them twice. But if not Miami, do you think he stays? Do you actually think he's going to stay in Tampa? I think the Tampa train is still run.
I think he's going to stay in Tampa because Carolina, mess. New England, New Orleans, they're relying on Jameis Winston. Bit of a mess for me. The Falcons just traded away their greatest ever quarterback. Mess. Then you look elsewhere in the NFC. Cowboys have got worse this offseason. People are saying the Commanders now have with Carson Wentz, are the best side in the NFC East. No, they're not.
Jesus.
And Philadelphia are still a work in progress. So that's two divisions. Easy enough.
The Rams are going to take a back seat because, look, Super Bowl champions generally always take a back seat because of...
No, I don't know.
Contractual obligations and stuff like that.
The way the Rams are built, though, that kind of roster building, if you win two Super Bowls with that roster, you've overachieved. It's a roster that's built to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
San Francisco is a bit of a mess right now with Trey Lance and stuff like that. It's still a bit of a mess. It's not as clear cut. Seattle is in full rebuild. Make no qualms about it. And Arizona, been a lot of mess in this offseason. Doesn't look as good as it looked last season. And then you're left for the NFC North. Chicago.
Yeah.
Green Bay. Do you know what I mean? Davante Adams is now gone. They've tied up Aaron Rodgers in a huge contract, but he's no talent. Detroit is Detroit. Arguably, we're in a situation where the best side in the NFC North may be Minnesota.
Wow.
That's as clear cut as a run to the Super Bowl as Tom's going to get ever in his career, I think.
I can't remember the last time the NFC was that much of a shit fest as well.
And, like, when I got into the NFL, the AFC was a mess.
Yeah.
It was just the Patriots and the Colts knocking ahead of each other.
Yeah, whoever, like, the route generally went through either Indianapolis or Foxborough.
New England, sure. Yeah. More often than not, Foxborough.
So you don't think Tom's going anywhere. I also thought that the Niners were in play as well for Brady.
It's a good story. It's a sentimental option, but I don't know. I generally don't know. But then, he's really confused me this offseason, Tom.
Yeah, but you see, the Trey Lance, like, it's perfect if they can get him for nothing. And I don't obviously, when you see the first round picks going around for receivers now and the Deshaun Watson trade, how do you trade Brady, and what do you actually expect back from is weird, especially considering he just fucking retired as well. You would have to assume that it would be, I don't know, maybe a second round pick, insulting.
I think if Jimmy Garoppolo is traded, is included in the trade for Tom Brady, we can put our hands down, we can say Tom Brady has ruined Jimmy Garoppolo's career from start to finish. like Bill was ready to roll with Garoppolo. Tom kicked off. And look, he's proven right, to be fair. They traded Jimmy to San Francisco. And if Jimmy is sent to Tampa, it is where his career will die.
Do you remember that stretch when Garoppolo got traded to the 49ers? He had a 5-game sample size to end the season, and he looked like the best thing since sliced bread. It was just like, here comes handsome Jimmy G to the Bay, and like, all the mothers are putting their daughters out on the shop window to be like, yeah, you handsome fucker, throwing those touchdowns, come in here now, marry up. They all thought Jimmy was going to be, in fairness, he looked unreal for the five game sample, and then it just,
and look, he's not bad, he's still a quarterback to let aside to the Super Bowl, and was very close to beating the Chiefs. Like, if he was just a little bit better in that Super Bowl, Kansas City Chiefs do not have a Super Bowl, which is mad to say.
So you think Tom, look, so at the end of the day, you think Tom is staying put? Yeah,
I think he's staying put. Yeah, I think it's a it's a business decision. But it was very, the whole thing, still, I'm still not sure on the whole logic of a six week retirement. Like, just don't get it.
He's human as well. He might genuinely have just gotten sick of the wife and kids,
which is fair, but like, if it's 6 weeks and you're sick of him, like, you're gonna have the next 4 years at least whenever he does retire.
Yeah,
he probably doesn't die, he's probably Highlander, to be fair, but
I think he goes to one of those two teams.
Okay,
I do.
Any other topics from the NFL? The Deshaun Watson thing, the press conference was a bit awkward on Friday, I don't know if you've seen that.
The Haslams, I mean, they let Andrew Berry just roll that up themselves, which is, look, to be honest, that's a shocking decision from ownership to not, like, if you're going ahead with the biggest deal in a long time for not only the kind of currency that they gave up, but obviously all the hassle that Deshaun is currently embroiled in as well. So both, like, for on-field reasons and off-field reasons, like, that's the biggest trade. Jesus, that could be the biggest trade probably as long as I, possibly it is, yeah, like, for all, when you combine all the reasons, that could be the biggest trade in the NFL in a long time, and could stand to be the biggest trade in the NFL for a long time, because obviously if Cleveland pan out and start doing a bit of damage, no one will care in the long run. That's the reality of the sports, and no one will care. But if he gets, you know, some sort of civil case, or convicted in civil case, even, or anything like that.
Even if it's a civil case, once it's not criminal, I'm telling you now, it's like, it's just not going to be, it's just no longer an issue. And like, I don't want to be harsh or play it down, but it's never been an issue, a player with a civil case. Like, you look at Big Ben's career, was never derailed. The incident with Kobe,
people forget that these boys were all in hassle, and Kobe's revered, universally loved. No one gives a fuck. It's true though, do you know what I mean? It's people can call it what they want, but you know, time does seem to overrule these things. I just found it surprising that
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Muslims didn't. That's bad ownership. I just think it was bad ownership.
Fair. Yeah. But look, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see how it pans out, because it's not, I don't think it's done, as in, like, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Civil tends to pay a bit longer. But I think he has the momentum at present, having won the criminal cases.
He's also enough money to pay them all off now as well, so.
Yeah, now has, yeah. But look, going down a dark pathway. So
yeah.
We done with the NFL, we move on to the NBA?
Yeah, we move on.
Yeah, okay. So I suppose we've a little bit over a week left in the regular seasons. The Dying Embers, I think the 11th and the 12th of April are the scheduled dates for the play-in. Obviously a few days rest with that. So we're looking like we're coming to the end. So just a few relatively sharp, quick questions, but they might turn into something more. So first up, who makes the play-in out west?
So the current play-in would
be the Lakers and New Orleans.
I find it hard to not, like, LeBron is going to be too good down the stretch for them to not get the play-in, I think.
Anthony Davis, rather, could be back on Friday, 1st of April.
Yeah, and, like, I'm looking at the way the seeding works here would mean then that the Lakers would play, like, if they get in the play-in and get to the playoffs, then they're playing Phoenix in the first round?
Yeah.
Not even entertaining the idea of that. Are you entertaining the idea of, do you think the Lakers are going to make the play-in? No?
I think they'll make the play-in, yeah. But so what'll happen is, I think they'll beat New Orleans in the play-in, and I think they could beat the Clippers then to make the playoffs, effectively. I think. Is that how it works, is it?
So if they come in as the lowest seed, they play two games, don't they? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would mean they would play, yeah, the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers are just not there. They're just,
it's been a write-off season. They've had Kawhi out all season, and then Paul George got injured around November, December time, and obviously he was out for the rest of the season. So they've lost the two biggest stars. They've done well to be where they are, to be fair. But yeah, I think, if I was being brutally honest, I think the Lakers will make the playoffs via the play-in, but I think they'll get bounced by Phoenix. Phoenix are a different beast at present. Be in agreement, or?
Yeah, I don't think, like, the Lakers, LeBron is going to have one fancy, very nice, or two very nice playing games where he's probably going to go off for like 40 and 50 points, and just to prove a point that he can still do it. But them,
fair,
actually even remotely,
I think it might be a gentleman sweep.
Yeah.
4-1. It'd be a gentleman sweep. They might get a game off them, but
that Phoenix seems fucking good, man. Really good. I don't think they're getting enough hype either.
No, which is very good and very dangerous for Phoenix. As in, they're not getting the hype they deserve. So I think they're quietly going about their business.
Yeah.
Out east, it's pretty much set, I think, that Atlanta and Charlotte would be the play-in sides. Is there any hope that Brooklyn loses to one of those two teams?
No. I can't see it. But this is the thing he always said about Brooklyn as well, is that people are hanging their hats on the fact, at the time, you know, when they had the three players, and they had James Harden, Kyrie, and Kevin Durant, that there was always going to be some sort of hassle that would keep the three of them off the floor, yeah, for long periods of time. And that's the sort of mess they find themselves in there now. I actually quite fancy Brooklyn against Philly. I just Philly just never really kind of do a whole lot for me. If an 8 seed was to knock a 1 seed off,
that's where it is.
No chance. I wouldn't give them any chance against Miami if Miami do take the top spot. And Boston are the hottest team in the league.
They are. But I think you need two closers to be a genuine contender. And I think Boston is one closer. Jaylen Brown is good. He's just not a closer. For me.
Yeah, I do. I wouldn't. Like, if Boston. Like, look, there's actually no games between them, really. Those top three seeds. And Milwaukee. So any one of the four. I think there'll be a bit of. What do you call it? You know, we might rest a few players here and drop down the rankings here for the last 10 days, because the reality is no one wants Brooklyn in the first round, except for I would say the Bucks would quite happily go, yeah, fuck them, we'll go out and just tear lumps off them, and if we don't beat them in the first round, we weren't good enough to win a championship this year anyways. That's the only team. I don't even think Miami would want to. As
Miami, for me, are not built for playoffs. They'll be they're like, and I'm not saying this to slight you, but they're like Denver to me of a few years ago, where they'd be red hot in the playoffs and then they go out in the first or second round. And that to me is Miami. Like, I don't know if you've seen the big blow up between Jimmy Butler and Udonis Haslam over the week. They've lost their last four games as well on the trot. So I don't know, I just think Miami are a brilliant side, but they don't have like, don't really have a 3-point guru. Like, are we saying Tyler Herro is it? No, I don't think so.
They have. I still think they're living off the bubble.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Bam. I love Jimmy, but I just think they've got that temperament that they'll play hard.
On paper, having Jimmy and Bam as like your two front pillars defensively makes a whole lot of sense for playoff series games. But they just seem to have chemistry issues, not those two players but each other in general. Miami as a team just seem to have chemistry issues. They're still living off that bubble, you know, the great bubble playoff run of 2 years ago. They don't particularly kind of scare me all that much, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them in the East Finals either.
Yeah, the East is an unknown for me, to be fair. I know what I'm getting at West, I just don't know what I'm getting. Like, Chicago's taken a massive, massive drop.
And I can appreciate, like, all the hype that's going around Boston at the minute. From, you know, like, from where they were right at the start of the season.
Glad he's not here for this.
I know, but they don't particularly frighten the bejesus out of me either. I don't think anyone in the East, really, as it stands, are terrifying.
No, I think whoever wins the Western Conference Final will win the NBA. Is my kind of,
and I'd be happy to hang my hat on the Bucks, just because I know Giannis is going to like win playoffs. Playoff series now, and the monkey's off, and he's won his championship. He will destroy, like, he'll destroy the field, and I think that's probably where I'd lean more than anywhere else right now for Milwaukee to probably come out.
Yeah, I mean, they have the experience, to be fair, and like I said about closers, they have two closers in Giannis and the most unappreciated closer in the league, Chris Middleton, and on a good day they have three, because Drew Holiday can jump off. To be fair, next thing,
yeah,
I was going to ask you on is, who for you has been the regular season MVP?
Oh,
not who you think will get it. Who has it been for you?
I'm just going to say it. It's Morant.
Good man. Thought we were going to have a row there.
Look, there's also an argument that Devin Booker is not getting enough love here either.
Again, it comes back to that whole quietly going about his business.
Look,
element, isn't it?
It's for me, it's Morant, because the raw numbers are good, but it's the pure, like, every time you see him, and it's Memphis, and Memphis are competitive, And if this was Derrick Rose, we wouldn't even be having the conversation. We would just have given him the award 3 months ago. So is there like a little bit of a bias here that like they're like, oh, I just don't think we've seen enough of him yet to give him the award? Look, the three front runners right now are fucking Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis.
Giannis. Yeah, that's who's leading the All-Star. So Embiid is leading by quite a distance. Not quite a distance, sorry. He has total votes 789, Jokic 754, Giannis is only 512. So it's them two out in front. It's Jokic and Embiid.
And Embiid. And anyone that would have a logical argument with me would know that, look, Embiid or Jokic, like Jokic across all advanced metrics is murdering him. But Denver are the sixth seed. So, like, as...
That shouldn't matter, though.
Ah, no, look, as biased as you are, like, the seeding... The seeding does count. Look, Jokic have dragged Denver, like, which... And this is where you'd argue for him, is because he's doing it without any of his good support. Like, his Porter's gone, Jamal Murray has been gone all year, and he has single-handedly dragged that team right into the middle of the Western standings. Which is,
yeah, but if Jokic isn't playing, they don't even make the play-in.
So that's your argument for Jokic, which is, that's okay. I just don't think it's strong enough to be overturning like Morant this year, and he's not even getting into the top three.
He hasn't even got 100 votes.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's fair. I think what Jokic has done is he's been stellar this year. He's arguably been better this year than he was last year when he won the fucking thing. But for Morant to not even get a look at that, something is not right. Even and the same kind of with Booker as well. And
Booker's
then, like, in
tied 10th with Jimmy Butler.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. I'll go through the top 10 with you. So
they've won 60 games.
Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Ja Morant, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Luka Doncic, and then tied 10th is Devin Booker and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, like, for Durant to be ahead of Booker this year.
Yeah. Tells you all you need to know about MVP voting, don't you? It's storylines. It's storylines.
Yeah, anyways, look, who have you got? I've got Morant as who I have
Morant. I generally have Morant. Who would I have? Now, the next question is, who's going to win it? I think it is going to be Embiid.
I
think they're going to give it to him, yeah.
As much as I don't agree with Jokic getting it, I'd rather Jokic getting Embiid.
Yeah, I would too. But I just... You can kind of predict the MVP. As in, like, who's actually going to get it now. Whereas before, like... They do pick it based on storylines. It's why Russ won it. It's why Harden won it the years they did. It's all about storylines. And I think they're just going to give it to Joel Embiid. Because of the storylines in Philadelphia this year.
Right, so normally, look, it's generally like thereabouts the team with the best record. So at the season's end, right, when the votes, and those votes are going to be done, and if Philly are the fourth seed, I'm just throwing it out there, and hypothetically, you know, Boston are sitting in the one seed or whatever, is Jason Tatum going to get any more additional hype for votes?
I don't think so. I think a lot of people are happy to just let Jason Tatum walk away at this stage. He's kind of a superstar without getting... He's a bit like Booker. He's kind of a superstar without getting the recognition of being a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, we all know he's very good, but we don't Steph Curry him. Well, Steph Curry's a bit different. Steph Curry's changed the game. But we don't Kevin Durant him, or we don't Kyrie Irving him even. A lot of people wouldn't put him on the same level as Kyrie Irving, which for me I think is wrong.
No, it's just when you look at it comes back to being a clear and cut best team, say, in the conference is generally like one of the deciding factors I'd have in my head to help and make the case for someone. But right now, wait, what have we got left? Like a dozen games? Even a dozen games? Probably 10 games? Some teams have 10
games? Half a dozen games aside, I'd say.
there's still no clear cut best team in the East, which actually just now makes the argument for Morant even more logical. Just give the boy the fucking trophy.
Second best side in the West. If you're not going to give it to Booker,
I don't think Booker's going to get a vote, and that's like 16-14, and he's not even getting a mention. And I was like, there's no logical argument to it, because Chris Paul has missed a few games. Chris Paul's been out for a while now as well, so he's actually just been carrying the load even more for them. I think it's just because he has a bit of a, I think Booker kind of maybe has a bit of a skin to shed before people start looking at him as like, Phoenix need to win one more year of winning, say, 50-55 plus games, and Booker needs to kind of shed the whole I'm a really bad defender thing as well.
I think he needs a statement, like a Jordan the shot game in the playoffs, before people start taking him serious. Do you know what I mean? I think he needs to, he's never had that moment. Although he's been very good, he's never had that moment.
I don't think people associate Phoenix as being his team yet either, and I can see that. It's still, they've only been successful since Chris Paul has been there. Yeah. And I understand the value that Chris Paul brings to Phoenix. Yeah. But Devin Booker, I look, anyone that knows their basketball knows that Devin Booker is a better basketball player than Chris Paul right now. It's just the intangibles that Chris Paul has given Phoenix have obviously allowed them to flourish.
Take that jump.
And he's now been, I suppose it's now associated as his team. So.
Yeah. Fair. So, who is your, who are they going to give the MVP to? Is what I asked you.
They're going to give it to Morant.
Okay, I think they're going to give it to Embiid.
Do you think they're going to give it to Embiid? Fuck Embiid. I'm not even going to, I don't even want to fucking say it. They're going to give it to Morant. We want Morant to have it.
Yeah,
and they're going to give Morant. I think it's going to happen. Magic.
Okay. Manifest.
Manifest.
Right. Call it. Your Eastern and Western Conference matchups. Finals now.
So, the East is a little bit more harder to predict because we need the seeding first. So, well,
I think the top eight sides are going to be the top eight sides in the East.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it might change in the West.
Can Boston play Milwaukee in the finals?
Not. 1-8 to. I'm not sure.
So could we go with, say, our ideal matchup is that Boston would play Milwaukee for me? That would be
okay.
That, I suppose, my dream, because there's only like the Milwaukee lose tonight or whatever, and it could flip, and suddenly they can't play each other. So if you want me to, if you want to ask me, what's my ideal
your
matchup?
Dream matchup?
My matchup. I want Celtics Bucks. I think would be my Eastern.
And at West?
The Western one, Phoenix definitely. And up until about 3 weeks ago, I probably would have said Phoenix Golden State, as even just from stylistically point of view, like, would have been a great. But I think I'm, I'm going to go with Phoenix versus the Jazz as my ideal matchup.
Okay.
I don't think
whatever
about the love we're giving Memphis at the minute, I can't see them overturning them in a West Finals yet. They're a year away.
And who's bringing Larry home?
Suns.
Phoenix, yeah. Okay.
I think there was an injustice done to them last year, to be honest.
I don't think it was an injustice, I just don't think they were ready. You gotta lose one to win one and all that.
Yeah. Their reemergence.
I'd be in agreement with a lot of them.
Yeah. Who have you got?
Yeah. I have gone with Golden State and Phoenix in the West, but I've gone with Philly and Milwaukee in the East. And I've gone with Phoenix over Milwaukee. But I think it'll be tough. I think it'll be 4-3. I think it'll go to game 7.
The Phoenix emergence is mad. And to think like they did not want to pay Ayton.
Yeah. They almost blew up a dynasty before it even started.
Sarver just couldn't get out of his own fucking way here. And they're looking for answers about his investigation now as well. The one that seems to have been buried deep down. But yeah, no, Phoenix. I can't look past Phoenix, not. Now, we've had teams that won 60 games before. Reasonably handy. Only for them to flame out at some stage in the Western playoffs. But I don't think the West is nearly as good as years where that has happened.
Start of the season. Doesn't even seem as strong as it seemed at the start of the season, to be fair.
No. And even when you've like the Timberwolves in your 7th seed, like, what? What's going on?
Maybe Karl Anthony Towns is finally coming of age.
I don't think it's Karl Anthony. I think if you were going to give anyone the credit, I think it's Edwards. Edwards is a dog, man.
It's good to see, though. We needed that. We needed Minnesota to be somewhat successful. They're kind of the lost franchise for a long time, to be fair.
Have two young players of that caliber and not be doing nothing with them. So, yeah, it is important. I do think it's important that they get somewhere.
Fair. Okay. I think that's us. Last thing just to touch on, this week's Have You Seen This? It's not a sport we typically cover, but the AFL, I think it's in its third round, new season. This week's Have You Seen This? Is Lance Franklin, Sydney Swans legend, kicked his 1,000th goal in the AFL the weekend. He's just the 6th man in history to do so, and the scenes are phenomenal. All the fans basically rush in the middle of the game. It's not like it's a walk-off shot. It's like there's a lot left to play in the game, and all the fans just running. Not a single mobile phone to be seen. Ah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant watching now.
I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, were you not?
No, I was busy. I was just leaning in just to see, like, could I just put you off there right at the end?
You got to bear in mind, when you lean into your mic, you go off screen. Sorry to see your shoulder. I was going to say something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I need to
weird setup now.
I need to work on my presenting skills before I get the big gig placement at like BBC or something like that. I'm sure who knows.
Oh no, mate. No. You're like conspiracy videos on YouTube. That's your big.
I feel like it could do that. It's like, have had COVID now existing multiple times to tell you that, and hadn't they ever tell you is a lie?
Fair. You've a head for we'll be back next week, and we should have a full compliment. But look, there always seems to be something these last few weeks to transpire to it being a 2-man show. But I suppose that's all from me.
That is all from me.
Thank you, and good night.